Welcome to the Always Winter podcast. Come beyond the wall to the land of Always Winter, where we talk all things A Song of Ice and Fire, the miniatures game. Please note, there may be some bad language. You have been warned.
Welcome back to episode 12 of the Always Winter podcast, or season 2, episode 2, if you want to get pedantic. I'm joined together in a group once more, Mr. Alan Liddell and Mr. Grant Fraser. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
How are we all?
He's back.
He's back.
We're united once again. Full force.
The baby sheep are born.
Almost all finished, yes. Yes.
I was wondering where you were going with that. I was like, what the hell are we talking about baby sheep for?
Well, it's a busy time of the year for the farming, if you've got animals.
Yeah, it's good feeding dragon season then as well.
Yeah, yeah. So what we've been up to? I'm assuming Mr. Liddell's not been up to much in terms of hobby or games.
The new Digimon trading card game.
Yep. Anybody looking for a game, let them know. Assuming Grant has been all quiet. That's a bold assumption I'm making.
For Ice and Fire, yeah, I've been pretty quiet, but I have also done up and given myself a gaming week while I've been away.
Nice.
So now I'm starting to get everything back on track and starting to get everything painted up. I should hopefully get some time to get back to Ice and Fire, get the Lannisters painted up soon.
Yep. But
there's just so much to paint. The fact that I started two new games during lockdown didn't help.
Oh dear.
Only two.
Dangerous.
It is. It's not good.
I think Little started, four or five?
I don't know. I got the core set of the LCG Lord of the Rings, but I've sold that now. I figured I would only buy it just to go through the core set, but it's a bloody difficult game, and I can't be bothered, so I just got rid of it. We've got a fair amount of Dice Masters. I think we're up to about £800 on Digimon. That's good. A few board games here or there. Some add-ons for my Versi system to PCG.
Please.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be something else. Oh, the tracking down the Halo fleet battles last year. That was good.
Love it.
Something else to paint, but not get paint.
Those Legion and Marvel Crisis Protocol were the two that I added to the collection.
Oh, aye. Yep. I bought some Legion stuff as well, but I tried painting some clones, but I gave up.
Yeah, it's just a white spray job. That's there you go.
Aye, and a black wash. I was like, nah, can't be bothered with this. I might get into it one day, but I don't think sci-fi's for me.
No, I prefer painting fantasy stuff as well, it has to be said.
Yeah. But
I prefer things that are painted.
Pre-painted, aye. Aye.
Games.
I've been up to a bit of painting. I've painted some Free Folk. We've started our monthly pledge to paint stuff every month, and I managed to get a unit of Free Folk Raiders painted and a couple of characters, Harma and Urbannerman. So that's a grand total of 4 points. So this month I'm currently painting a mammoth. Big sexy mammoth and a couple of five characters attachments at NCUs and stuff. So I've been keeping relatively busy in the past.
Well, I think that's why the Knights of Casterly Rock and the Heroes 1 box I'm going to try and get done this month.
Aye, that'll be a fair chunk of points, I think, with the character box for very few characters.
Yeah, just get them knocked out.
Yeah, man.
Get the Reapers the current NCUs I've done because I've got that 3D printed table for the tactics board.
Yeah.
We'll need to rebase all of the NCUs for going on that.
Oh, to match it.
Is that the one with the table?
Yeah.
Small table. Yeah.
We gave that out as a prize at the tournament, didn't I suppose.
Sadly did not win that. I won something a little better.
Well, that was a painting prize, so of course you're not going to win it.
Ooh.
Hey, I'm not calling you a bad painter, I'm just saying that you didn't paint, right?
That in itself is a bad painter, really.
Well, I suppose. Aye, you're no wrong. That's kind of in the hobby front for me, and gaming-wise, I'm assuming some people will start getting some games in soon, because restrictions ease up in a couple of weeks so we can meet inside.
Mm-hmm. There's still been some garden games and that happening, but I've not had a game of Ice and Fire for them. I really need to get
some games
up here.
Yeah, on you go.
No, I was just going to say, I've seen some people on Facebook post up that they've got their garden games on the go. Like, I've had Stephen McCormick's 4x4 mat sitting here since last year.
Aye. And he's probably
he just left it here, expected to only play me, and then it got to the point where the lockdown kicked in again and country went shut down, so it was just left and he couldn't think of a backup.
He'll not be getting it
just sitting with all my stuff on it.
He'll not be getting it anytime soon either, because
I know.
He just had a baby girl, so congratulations.
Yeah, not so much him, but...
Well, his significant other, but he's a dad, so... congrats.
Starting his own little Stark family.
Baratheon family?
Whatever, like...
Bolton family?
Would be better if it was the Starks, because that's a legitimate family. Whereas the Baratheons kind of...
And you didn't want it to be a Bolton family, because their family values are fantastic.
Going off the armies he's got, he's not got the best bloodline to follow.
Yeah, we'll just say Stark then.
Yeah.
Speaking of Starks, we're actually going to discuss a topic today. So we're a bit late in the game, but the official A Song Ice and Fire website released Visions in the Flame articles giving sneak peeks of some of the updates for the 2021 update that's going to be happening, and it looks like it's going to probably be live in a couple of weeks maybe. So we thought we'd go through a couple of the factions. We're going to go through Stark, Lannister, just because we kind of play those factions, and we thought it'd make the most sense to go through those ones first, specifically. Grant and Liddell haven't seen these yet, so...
No, I've been kind of not paying the closest attention to it until we get these new cards out and in our hands, is kind of the way I'm looking at it.
That's pretty much what I was saying.
Which is fair enough. I've been kind of nosy and having a look and seeing what the changes have been and seeing what I can kind of paint in the meantime. But I don't think, spoiler alert, I don't think my list will be changing much, to be honest with you. But it probably will, to be honest. So, right, where do we want to start? Do we want to start with Starks or Lannisters?
Oh, you mentioned Starks and I've loaded them up, so...
Right, that's cool. We'll go with Starks then. So... Let me just get up the screen. Okay, so basically they show different things depending on the faction. So for the Starks, they've shown the generic tactics cards plus Rob Commander's tactics cards, and they've shown a couple of units and Rob Commander and attachment. They show the generic tactics cards for every faction, and then depending on which one it is, they show either NCUs or attachments or whatever, depending on what they... I'm assuming what they felt like. So that's the Starks. So do you remember what the old tactics cards did, roughly?
Possibly.
So if I say to you, like, Devastating Impact, you would remember what that card...
Rerolls to charge and plus two automatic hits. If you control the horses, you automatically roll a six and it's two wounds.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, there we go. So
now what does it do?
It's still there. So
I can't zoom.
When a friendly unit's performing a charge before rolling the distance dice, the enemy becomes panicked and vulnerable. If you control the horses, you can re-roll the charge distance dice. So no automatic six anymore. It's just a re-roll. And you didn't get the extra hits, they become panicked and vulnerable. So
panicked and vulnerable is probably better than the extra hits, I would say.
I would say as well. Yeah, I think that would generate. I think they're trying to steer away from extra dice and extra hits and wounds and stuff. Or rather, sorry, not extra hits, but extra attacks for units. Extra wounds and stuff. Yeah, they're still there, but they've said that they're going to be a lot rarer than they were before. So I'm assuming that's why they've changed it to that. I think it's to kind of steer away from the, all right, I've charged and I'm going to kill your unit in one hit, sort of deal. So yeah, that's the first one. Let me check. I don't know if there actually... There is one that's got a new name. It's called Winter's Might.
Yeah. I've got the app up just now, actually. So just want to see which one's been... Well, there's quite a few that have actually got new names. Because Sudden Charge wasn't there. Swift Advance wasn't there.
Oh, aye. Swift Reposition now. Assault Orders is a new one as well, actually. So they've obviously kind of went, oh, this doesn't really work, or the name doesn't fit the theme of what they wanted to do, so they've just changed the name.
Possibly.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's what it is.
I think we're going the route of changing the names just so it's different from the other decks, maybe. Because I know Targaryens have got the same kind of tactics cards as Starks and so on and so forth throughout.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of them are the same. Sudden Charge, Devastating Impact.
That's true. I don't know if... I've not seen the tact... Oh, but they're... I think they're commander-specific ones, though, aren't they? Like Grey Worm and...
No.
Well, I don't know. I would check the Targaryen one, but I've not got it on my screen, so... It could be that. When Winter's Might, basically... When you're performing a melee attack, you get Sundering and you could re-roll. And then after completing it... The friendly unit suffers 2 wounds, minus 1 wound for each of its destroyed ranks. So if it's at full ranks, it wouldn't take. If it's at full ranks, it would take 2, take 1 if it lost 1, and then take 0 if it's. So it's kind of like that Stark Fury type. If it's got 1 rank left, it doesn't take any wounds. And if you control the swords, you also can roll the highest attack value. So I don't know what if that's replacing anything, if at all. Is that anything coming to you?
Oh, the old cards?
Yeah.
Just have a quick look. My dad just tried to flip me. No, there's nothing really combat-wise.
So they've obviously kind of added... To me, that... I don't know why, but that kind of...
There's no ferocity.
All right, aye. It was giving me the Stark Fury vibes, that card. But they've got this... I'm sure they've got the Stark Swan Sword unit. Aye, they do. They've still got Stark Fury.
Just underneath.
Aye.
This is against Sundering. And re-roll attack dice after completing it, this attack, the attacker suffers 2 wounds. It's kind of like a Umbar type ability.
Cool.
Because they were all about dealing wounds and then taking them themselves.
Aye, that's right. Yeah. Because they've got
Kate John's commander card, though.
I mean, you can't really do just the whole picture, obviously, because we've not got the whole picture, but their cards look no bad. Northern Ferocity's still there, and it's... when they perform a melee attack, they get vicious, and the defender fails their panic. If they fail their panic test, they take an extra wound from the test. And after you complete the attack, you also suffer 2 wounds, but again, minus 1 for each of its destroyed ranks. So it's kind of hitting heavy into that offense, extra offense at the price of taking some wounds.
If you're on your last leg, then you're just getting a buff.
Aye, basically.
Adrenaline's kicked in. I'm always a bit cautious at that point, though.
Go big or go home. So there you go.
No, but I mean, it's worrying when you're in your last rank. But, I mean, when I was running it with Great John Umbar and using his cards, I would pop, like, his ability and the cards down because I know I was going to pop this, get rid of that unit. I didn't want to do it and then not get rid of them for them to attack me back and finish me off. There would just be no point in that.
Aye. They're obviously changing up the style a wee bit. But no, not massively, but...
Pick the right time to use it.
Yeah, definitely.
I would.
And as well, they've said that they're trying to kind of... They're trying to make the tactics cards kind of viable at any point. So you're no keeping the card in your hand for like 3 rounds or something like that. Like all the tactics cards that were on the trigger of when a friendly unit is destroyed, they've got rid of that trigger and they've changed it to... at the start of a turn, but then you attach it to the unit, and then when a unit dies, it triggers just to get it out of your hand, which I thought was pretty cool, which is a bit of a pain, because even stuff like, what was it, Lannister pays its debts, that was a pretty naff card, and the trigger was when a unit died, so I thought that was quite a cool wee addition, so.
Yeah.
Devastating Impact, enemies successfully... charge, become panicked and vulnerable. That's the same, isn't it?
That was the first card you asked me about. Devastated Impact.
Oh, sorry, aye. Right, skip. North remembers.
I was wondering why you'd done it in that order. I was like, you just jumped to the third card.
Actually, Devastating Impact was the first card that popped in my head because I wasn't looking at the screen. The North remembers, so target one friendly combat unit and attach this card to them. When a friendly infantry or cavalry unit is destroyed, place one order token on the card. When this card has a token, the attached unit always attacks using its highest dice, and whilst controlling swords counts as a 6 for rolling all charged distance dice. So that is, what was that before, when a unit was destroyed, you removed an activation counter, or could perform a free action or something like that? The old Stark card?
You're asking me.
There was a Stark one that was when a unit was destroyed, you...
That is that. Remove one activation token,
aye,
or restore 3 wounds. If you've got the sword, you get both.
Right, aye, okay. So that's obviously a kind of, literally, as I was just saying about making sure that you didn't keep cards in your hand for too long and just using them right away sort of thing. The change, it's just basically buffing their attack. It's not letting you muck about with activations, which, again, I think is their intention, is to either kind of change things that dealt manipulated activations to other things, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the obvious change there, and that's why. It's all right. You could stick that on your unit, on a unit that's on its last rank or last 2 ranks or something.
I will ask, though, what's the deal with the cards now? Because I know you told me there's a hand limit.
Yes, aye. So the new rules, there's a hand limit of 5. So if you draw higher than 5, you have to immediately discard the card.
That's fair enough. But if you're saying that you're not going to be able to play the cards as much, like as often you would think, then you're going to be... I feel like you might end up discarding cards or not draw cards as much at all. So,
well, they're changing the way they use them, like even the start of the phase and stuff like that.
Yeah, they've changed a lot.
Yeah, rather than keep them for the opportune moment, you might just have to be like, right, I may as well just play it now so I can then draw another card and get the use out of that card as well. Otherwise, I'll be stuck with this card and maybe this card, and I'm only going to replenish one card a turn if I'm lucky.
I think it's potentially going to move.
I'm not going to get the use out of all 20 cards as much. I mean, some armies didn't get the use out of all 20 cards regularly, really. But I'm just worried that it might be a case of you'll only use about half of your deck, especially if you're trying to use them at the right moment, rather than just going, right, I've got a trigger here, I may as well just use it on that unit, get it over and done with, so I can draw another card and then try and keep getting my abilities off.
Yeah, I mean, that potentially maybe is the intention, but then again, that would put everybody on the same playing field. Like you say,
that's fair enough.
Yeah.
So it's still at the end of your, or the start of your turn, whenever it was, do you draw up to 3 cards? Or do you just draw, like, I feel like it would be better if you would draw a card at the end of your turn.
Yeah, I think it would just be the same as the old rules, that if you had 3 cards in your hand, so the max hand limit size is 5, but the normal draw size is still 3. So if you have, obviously, at the end of the turn in the cleanup phase and then the start of the next turn, if you have 2 cards, you would draw 1, or if you had 0, you would draw 3, sort of thing. You'll see that when we get to Lannisters with Tyrion, because he still increases the hand from the player to 4.
I think that, jumping ahead, I think that's what Samuel Tarly does.
Yes, but we don't know about that. That's not been confirmed. That's just speculation at the minute.
And if anyone's listening, I still want my Night's Watch Heroes 2 box, so hurry your ass up.
That's turning into a meme a wee bit.
Not for me. It's not a nice meme. I've got 2 other boxes set aside because I'm waiting on this bloody thing.
Yeah. Right, shall we move on? So winter's coming.
No.
So enemies successfully charged by this unit cannot be the target of friendly orders or tactics cards. So that's slightly different. Changed from the opponent can't use tactics cards and orders. Mm-hmm. But now it's just on specifically the unit that are being charged.
Yeah.
So that, I suppose that could open up, you could now use like a countercharge tactics card now.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a bit of a nerf, that one, I would say. Swift position, obviously replacing Swift advance.
Yeah, I was reading that one. And that's a... I'm looking on that. Because it's not even a manoeuvre, it's a two-inch shift.
Shift, yep. That's, from what I've seen for the revealed cards so far, that's becoming quite common. All the movement shenanigans is changing to shifts and 3-inch and 2-inch shifts and things like that. Mainly, to be honest.
A 3-inch manoeuvre, again, it's meh. It is a combat unit, though, so your cavalry can get the benefit of this card.
Yeah, because it was infantry before.
Yes.
Only yeah, if the changes are happening to everyone, and it's not.
In theory, it should work out, aye.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, this is just kind of initial reactions, but...
Speaking of someone that uses Starks and has done it in the past, it is ridiculous to just go, right, I'm going to play this card, this unit moves 6, possibly 7 inches with old Rob in it.
Yeah.
And then charge you and play another when charge card, which can allow me to re-roll. So if there's the 7 plus the 7 plus the D6, which is a re-rollable D6, I've potentially went on average 18 inches.
Yeah, which on a 4x4 is huge.
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Considering they're only 24 inches apart, usually.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to set your units up so they're not going to run through terrain.
Yeah, there's very little you can do to stop that if that's what the Stark player is going to do.
I'm pretty sure I've lost my lovely combo of Catelyn on horses, triggering Sansa and all this to get my cards that I want, Arya to get the free manoeuvre at the turn. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's ridiculous because you can't really counter it. There's very little that could counter that. I mean, if I wanted to throw these Umbar guys at you with Robb Stark, geez, you're not doing very much to stop me.
No.
And that's one hard hitting unit.
Oh, aye, well, I've been there plenty of times, so I'll cover
To be fair, that it was Free Folk Raiders, so...
Aye, it's one shot. Spoiler alert, it's still going to be a one shot. Right, okay. So then last one is Assault Order. This is an old, I think, similar to an old card, obviously. I don't know, I'm just stating the obvious there. So when a friendly NCU claims a zone, replace that zone with friendly unit may perform a melee action, and if you hold the swords, it's a charge action instead. That sounds similar to the old...
Sudden charge is what you're thinking of.
Yeah, that's it. Is that...
Okay, I'm looking off the app, I can't remember that well.
Is that just a direct rename, or...? Because it sounds like the rules are pretty...
When you claim any zone in the tactics board, you may replace the effects with one friendly unit to make a free charge. If you have the horses, you can get a vulnerable token put on them if you successfully charge.
So slightly toned down, just ever so slightly.
I do know that a lot of the cards were like very scary.
Yeah.
Like if someone played a specific card on you, you were like, oh, this is going to hurt.
Aye. Yeah, I know.
Especially, so obviously.
That's not too bad.
Off like Night's Watch, you were just throwing cards down.
So now, in order to get the charge, you need to take the swords. If you can't take the swords, you can't get a free charge. It's just a free attack, which is just basically the equivalent of replacing the zone you've taken with the sword zone. So, aye, that seems fair.
And if you take the swords, you would get a free attack anyway, hence why it's a free charge.
Yeah.
So I think this is actually Great John Normal. Not Commander Great John. His ability. Yeah, attachment. I think that was his ability.
Right. Like the old claimed, one. Or...
Yeah. Right. The attachment one, if you claimed his swords, you could make a free charge. I believe that was him. So I wrote a list up with that and it was just full of like free charges.
Love it.
Obviously. I don't really get to use that anymore.
Aye. Right, so that's the basic deck. It shows Rob's three commander cards. So you've got Sudden Retreat, Superior Positioning, and Hit and Run. I think. They're pretty similar. They're hit and run. I could be wrong, but so sudden retreat. After an enemy completes a melee attack, you get a free retreat. If it's Rob's unit, they get to re-roll. Superior position is when an enemy performs a charge action before resolving it. If the charges from the front, they suffer a disorderly charge on a 3 or less, and if they suffer the disorderly charge, they become vulnerable. So that's slightly toned up, that one, I think, because it was a 1 or a 2 before. Or they got a free move before they charged?
Which one?
Superior position.
When an enemy unit charges, that enemy must roll an additional charge distance die and select the lowest result. If the enemy is charging Rob Stark's unit, Rob's unit may make a free 3 manoeuvre before that enemy moves.
Right, aye. So it's slightly different, but it's the same idea. I think that's slightly worse. I think you're better off. You're more likely to fail the charge if you roll 2 dice and pick the lowest over. Oh no, 3 or less is just under 30%. I don't know the maths. My brain's too fried to figure it out. But the Rob part and moving away is different. Hit and run.
That pretty much means you would have to be an inch away from your opponent already for them to make it a 4.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm forgetting the rules of the game completely because it's your movement plus D6. So, yeah.
That's right, aye. Yep.
In which case, you would be your movement plus an inch away to make it a 1-inch, pretty much 2-up charge, which take away 3 off of that. Aye, it's going to make it like a 5-up charge on the old card, mm-hmm. which is quite irritating to try and charge Rob, who then just charges you back.
Yeah, I don't know if that was really needed, to be honest with you. The old card, to me, seemed fine, but again, I'm assuming it's just internal balance along with everything else that's in the Stark faction in neutral, so...
I mean, they're obviously still sticking Rob with the kind of positioning tactics.
Yeah, my tactics, man. Cool. Sudden retreat as well. I can't really remember there being a free retreat, but...
There was tactical regroup. That one's replaced.
Aye.
Was there still a hit and run card?
Right, okay.
So that's the one that's... The other two are the same, but that's the one that's changed.
Gotcha. So what do you think about that then? Rob's tactics cards, better, worse... Pretty much the same.
I never used them at all that much. And yep. I went heavy into trying out Great John just for the hit hard, put them down. It's been so long since I tried out Rob, I couldn't really tell you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, to me, he looks much the same in terms of his tactics cards. Yeah, cool.
As long as they get rid of all the annoying like wording.
I think they tried to remember that up as well, aye.
Yeah, because that was the main issue, was the triggers, because some of the wording was different, but the triggers was meant to be the same. But how are you meant to know that without having to look through the FAQ all the time?
I'm assuming that's going to be a big part of these new cards, is sorting out all that.
Yeah, because there was quite a lot of people creeping up, because I remember I tried to use the Winter is Coming, because that's when you declare a charge, and then it was Devastating Impact, because that's when you make the charge. But you can't use them together. But again, I was like, why not? They're completely two different words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm declaring the charge. I'm now making the charge. But again,
it clears it up for new players as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Old players getting confused with that is bad enough. But new players coming in, they'd just be totally clueless.
Yeah.
They've got an idea of how the game runs, and then it's just like, nah, sorry.
It's a welcome change, I'm
very happy if they do clear up all the kind of things.
Yep.
Also, it was irritating just to have the kind of triggers that interrupted each other.
Yeah. Speaking of triggers, House Umber Great Johns don't have... In fact, they never ever had orders or anything like that. Right, so
House Umber Great Johns.
Leave me alone, I've had a long day. Right. also, I just realised that these are great axes, and in my head that I was going to just be talking about berserkers. So
yeah, I thought that as well, because I figured they were just going to give you the guys for the starter set.
Yeah,
I don't know how many times these guys have been changed, and I've still never used them.
they're now movement 5, I think, which has went up because I'm pretty sure they went into movement 4.
I remember them being 4.
I think they're. Armor save and morale save are the same. They were maybe a 6 morale before. I don't know if you're on your app checking this or no, but
I'm trying to
talk an absolute drivel. I'm just going off memory.
It used to be 6 morale.
Right.
And their attacks have changed because it was 8-6-6.
Right, that is right. But they were 6 points before? Oh no, they're 7 points now.
They were 7 points before.
Alright.
Because I remember them both being 7 points.
But they had the super axe attack before, whereas now they look like they've just got Sundering and they do an extra wound if you fail a panic test against them.
I'd say these ones ignored defence saves, wasn't it?
I think so, aye. Before they did.
If they begin the round.
Yeah, that's right. Because even before that, their old rules, they had two different attacks. One was like, one was no saves. Another one was anytime they failed a armor test, you got to make another attack, and then they got super nerfed.
Mm-hmm. This is the third.
I think so. Aye, the third iteration.
Yeah, I knew it was the third, at least. Was the sure if it might have been more than that.
As far as I remember, it's the third.
This unit suffers minus one wound from failing pack tests for each of its destroyed ranks. All right.
So they're like the brave or reckless or whatever.
Morale when they're on their last rank.
Aye, that's quite nice, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think their rules have been toned down a bit because I've got a funny feeling their attachments are probably going to bring all this stuff in. That's just my opinion.
Good, John.
Yeah. But aye. Right, here we go. Stark Sworn Swords. Still 5 points.
As they should be. That's fine.
Movement 5, 4 up save, 6 up morale. That's the same, isn't it?
Yep.
4 up to attack, 7, 5, 4. And I believe they were hitting 4s last time, I'm pretty sure.
Because Stark Fury put them to 3s. 8, 6, 5 is what they were before.
Right, so they went down, which is fine because they were too cheap for what they did.
The 8 attacks for a 5-point unit was a bit obscene.
Plus Stark Fury, aye. And obviously they still have Stark Fury, but they've changed it. So they get Crit Blow and Sundering, and then they suffer 2 wounds, minus 1 for each destroyed rank. So again, suffer 2 wounds on full ranks, they suffer 1 wound with 2 ranks remaining, and they don't suffer any wounds on 1 rank left. So it's kind of the same-ish, but now they don't hit in 3s, which is a biggie.
Yeah, I feel like it's something you would use on the charge.
Yep.
Or when you're on your last rank.
Aye, every turn. Yeah.
You wouldn't just like keep going for it when you're hitting on 4s.
Aye.
I don't know. Again, it comes into the game. Depends on what you're hitting. If you're hitting somebody that's got a 3-up armor save, I'd be inclined to maybe not just do it because it's just going to a 4-up and you're definitely killing at least one of your guys.
Aye, that's right. Because at the end of the day, a 4-up's still a 4-up. You know, still a 50-50, right?
Yeah. Unless I'm making that unit on a 5-up or a 6-up, I'm not going to be trying to get Sundering.
Yeah. Aye.
But I've always said that the Starks don't, the Swan Swords don't do great against a kind of bunker unit enemy.
Yeah, no,
they're supposed to be
their kind of foot rank.
They're the basic troop
basic
choice.
Basic guys, yeah, definitely. So I think they're on the money with this one. They were too good for 5 points before.
Yeah,
far too good.
Putting them in with like Sirio and just going crazy on the kills.
Yeah. Well, for ages I thought they were 6 points and I was like they're too good for 6 points, and then I found it for 5 points and I was like what? So yeah, but
they've always had their place.
Aye. Well, we'll no dwell on my hatred worn swords. We'll move on, right? So
they were never that bad. I'm not liking the next card we're coming to.
Aye,
this doesn't both well.
Right, so 3 points.
That just ends it right there. No.
Yeah.
I need to pay for a dog. What the hell?
Well, you'll probably be paying for ghost as well. So there you go.
Right. I mean, the Night's Watch can only get one dog.
Yeah, that's
the Starks can get a few.
Well, I think that is the idea, because that was a big problem, I think, wasn't it, in competitive, is that Starks were always near the top because they just had the activations.
No, it's fair, because I mean, that's why I always kind of thought Rickon was just so amazing for 1 point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares about the extra victory point or whatever?
No, I didn't lose games because of that.
Yeah, aye. So 3 points. So he must obviously needs to be fielded in an army which has Robb Stark. Mm-hmm. It went up to 4 wounds. And it was 2 before. Was that right?
All right. I see that now.
Yeah. And then
obviously, I also had 2 wounds.
Aye. So and he's also got 4 attacks. I think before he had 2 attacks before as well.
All the dogs are pretty much generic. Came to wounds and attacks and what the hell.
Yeah. Morale save's still a 2-up, but it's went up to a 4-up armor save from a 3-up. So I think that kind of justifies the going up to four wounds.
Yes.
Really seem much different. Sun has got Sundering, enemies engaged with suffer minus one to hit. So that means, alright, okay, so that he's actually quite tanky then, because you get minus one to hit if you try and hit him, and he's also got the four wounds. So, aye, that's not too bad actually.
Mm-hmm. We're still getting the free maneuver. Try to think what the hell he got before. If he attacks in the rear or flank, the unit comes vulnerable.
Vulnerable, aye, that's right.
Because you've done it, you gave him the vulnerable token, but then obviously the actual unit that was hitting it is going to use it.
Aye, aye. Okay. Aye, I quite like that, actually. For 3 points, that's still... looking outside the fact that, you know, they used to be free, if you were looking at that for a 3-point unit, that's all right. It's better than Jorah.
I'm assuming he's changed as well, though.
Aye, well, we'll get into that. Sorry, Grant, what did you say?
No, I think just sorting out the dogs being free was a good idea.
I think so, aye. They
should have put points or upped their carer in points. Something.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right, that's the units. Rob Stark, I'll just kind of quickly go over him. So his attachment has got swift retreat order. So after they complete attack, they get a free retreat. So the same rule as the dervishes that just came out, and he gives them plus one to move. So
That's still a thing.
If
plus one movement was a thing before, so that's still good.
Do you think they've maybe made Berserkers movement 5? And that's the reason why they haven't shown them?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, no, it's not like they're not going to have to show them eventually, so...
No, that's true. I've just got a funny feeling they're going to make them movement 5 because of that. Oh, no, he had plus one movement 4, didn't he?
Yeah, he made them movement 7.
But I think that was where his kind of strength was, but I don't know if they would consider that a problem or not, so I suppose we can only wait and see, but...
I think his order is new, because I think that was all he did, was the movement.
But did he not have the sudden charge or whatever it was when they get targeted?
that's my nice wee combo that I like to talk
about. I think that's no bad for 2 points. And then Commander...
He's a point cheaper.
Aye. But, you know, he didn't get the wolf now, so I suppose that's kind of justified anyway, but...
Yes, so really, in a way, he's 2 points dearer.
Aye, because he was the Brucey bonus. You were paying the points for Greywind, so... right, Commander Rob, so he's got an order for the tactical reposition for the three and shift for free, and then he's got the regroup. So after you complete a retreat action, this unit can restore 2 wounds, an extra wound for each of the destroyer ranks. So that would be, 4 on the last rank you would heal?
Yeah.
3 on the second rank. Sorry.
Which, sadly, if you're on your last rank, it doesn't give you a full rank back. I mean, it does, they put you back up to...
Aye, back up to 3, aye.
Yeah.
But I think that's the intention, right? They didn't want you to Back up to full, boys. Seems all right for the commander. It kind of ties in these commander cards a bit, doesn't it? So you would save the cards for not Rob's unit, because he's kind of got them inbuilt into his orders anyway, so... Aye. Any thoughts overall?
Seems fine. Like, there's a lot of better things there than there is worse. But again, even the worst things, I can't really comment on how some worse guys as much, apart from I did think that movement 4 was bullshit, but they're back to 5.
Yeah.
So, good there. The dogs, I did feel like they needed to do something with the dogs. Whether or not it's a 3-point unit.
I think we'll know more about how we feel with the dogs' points once, you know, we start seeing lists built with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, also the other dogs.
Because at the end of the day, there is still a lot of NCUs and attachments. So, there's a lot of ways to build your lists and put things in. Are you going to give up an attachment for a unit to put in a dog?
Exactly.
Or two attachments for a dog kind of thing. You need to pretty much wait until the entire thing's out.
Yeah.
And have a go.
We get a proper idea.
You never know.
Yeah, jump over to these Lannisters.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of NCUs, the Lannisters got a... So again, tactics cards, a couple of units, and then 4 NCUs are shown. So, it's interesting, let's put it that way. Okay, so again, their cards are pretty much the same in terms of how much has actually changed. So I'll start through the actual top left this time. So Intrigue and Subterfuge. When an NCU activates, NCU loses all abilities until the end of the round. I think that was the same as before, I think.
Yeah, I've got the old card here.
Or was it a morale test? Oh, no, it wasn't a morale test.
Intrigue and Subterfuge was the NCU uses all abilities to the end of the round, and if you control the crown, one opponent must also randomly discard one tactic.
All right, okay. So the top half's the same. The second half is if you control the bags, you target an enemy combat unit and they become weakened, which ties in with the Lannister kind of theme, I suppose. So I don't know. That's probably slightly worse, but not terribly.
No.
I mean, you were only really playing it for to make the NCU lose its abilities anyway, right? So, aye. So the bags with the weakened. It's I don't know. I think that's all right. I quite like that. Yeah, Lannister pays his debts. So start any turn. So this is the one I was talking about earlier, where before when an enemy was destroyed, I think you pick a unit and they become weakened and panicked, or vulnerable and panicked, or something like that. I didn't rate it. I didn't think it was that good. I don't know about you.
No, I don't remember using it that much.
I always tossed it because by the time you wanted to use it, it was kind of too late by that point. I don't know.
Yeah, being able to return a tactics card was fine.
Oh, the tactics card. Yeah, I forgot about that part.
Yeah, that's only if you control the bags. Otherwise, it was usually more interested in bringing back a discarded card than I was about the effects of that card, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the main effect, aye. But then you had to be kind of ready and be like, oh, I need to stay on the crown just in case, or things started to look a bit bleak. So this time it's, again, you attach it to a unit, and then at the start of any turn, and then if a friendly unit gets destroyed, you put an order token on it. While the card has the token, the attached unit's melee attacks are vicious, and while you control the crown, you get +1 to hit.
Yeah, I like that.
That's like a, hi, we've taken one of the Starks cards, thank you very much.
The thing is, we looked at like a lot of the Lannister cards, there wasn't a lot of them for buffing combat.
Aye, that's right. Aye, it was all like fanning about with NCUs and tactics cards, and
so it's nice to get some of that combat effectiveness back in the card form.
Definitely, that to me is right. I'm put. Oh no, maybe not the Mountain's Men, but because they've already got vicious, I think. Or have we seen them? Well, they might not have vicious because we've seen the cards, but some big tanky, like not tanky, but hitty unit like
Knights
Rock. Yeah. And be like, right, okay, you've killed my crappy guardsmen or poor fellows. I'm going to smash you with my knights.
But the only issue with that card is your opponent obviously knows you played it, so they just try not to activate a unit that's going to kill an obviously weak unit.
Yep.
So you've kind of got to bait them out into doing it, which can be tricky.
Yeah, but then again, that's but also then, in your favour.
They're activating and when, which is still a good thing.
Exactly, and it might, preserve a unit.
Exactly.
So it works both ways, I suppose. It's that kind of Lannister mind fuck, basically. It's like,
you can take out that unit, but I'm going to hit you harder when you do.
Yeah.
Or you can ignore it, and then I can go with them first and maybe hit you back hard and hit you enough that you can't take out that unit.
Exactly. And the aim of the game is to score 10 points, but, a lot of the time you want to kill units, so...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's probably going to happen to you at some point. Just hope it's the right unit.
Well, that's it.
That's a better... That's a nice change. I like that.
Yeah.
Hear me roar. So when an enemy's performing a morale test before dice are rolled, that enemy suffers -1 to the roll and an additional -1 for each of their destroyed ranks. On failure, they suffer 1 wound or +1 wound on a failed panic test.
Okay, so it used to be the same enemy suffers -1 to roll and -1 for each additional rank, and if you control the crown, they also begin.
Right, okay. So they became panicked, so you could use the panic token whilst they were doing that.
Yeah.
Aye, okay. So it's, in terms of trying to make them run away, it's not as good but then you get to do the extra wound on the panic test.
Yeah.
Aye, okay.
A bit of side grade.
Yeah, it's middling for me. Aye, it's a bit the same. Aye, cool. Hear me wrote, right, bribery. So when a friendly unit, if an NCU claims a zone, you replace the zone with target one enemy combat unit and attach a bribery card to them until they pass a morale test or are targeted with bags. Well, this is attached, this unit attacks using its lowest die value. Before that, they needed to do a morale test?
Well, that wasn't a card before, was it? Bribery.
Was it not? Mm-hmm. I think I'm thinking of a neutral card, that's why. I think it's a card. Right, okay. So what was... I'm sure there was one that... there was a Lannister card before that targeted a combat unit and they had to take
a morale test. I think is the one it's just replacing.
Which one, sorry?
Paid Mutiny.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
So the unit must pass a morale check or its attachments lose all bonuses until the end of the round and the unit suffers D3 wounds. If you control the bags, it's -2 to the roll and they fail, they suffer 3 wounds.
Right, okay, that's the one. Yep. That must... Subjugation of Power is pretty similar to it. It looks like it's kind of split out a wee bit, so... I quite like... bribery looks alright.
Yeah.
I like the fact that it's a sure thing. Like, i.e. you don't have to make them take a morale test first in order to use it.
You can get the benefit of the card.
Yeah, and then also it kind of might... It might force them to want to take the bags to try and get rid of it.
Yeah, if they're not wanting that, they're not just wasting one of their ends.
Exactly. Or there's another zone that you want, like you really want the crown, and you're like, oh, they might jump on the crown, and then you're like, well, jump on the bags, otherwise this unit's on their lowest dice value, which isn't the end of the world, but it's not a great thing either.
It depends how key that unit is to you, what your plan was that turn. If it's
exactly
setting up for a big push and you just go, well, that's it, you're down a path.
Yeah. So I think ideally you're going to put it on a unit that you're already in combat with or is kind of geared up to perform a charge next turn or round or something like that.
Yeah.
Aye, I like that. That's cool. Counterplot. We know what counterplot is and it hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm. Don't like that one.
That's their signature card, right? That's what they're known for. Yeah, exactly. Fealty to the crown. When an enemy fails a panic test, target one friendly unit within long range. For each wound they suffer, you restore one wound up to 3. If you control the crown, it goes up to a maximum of 4. I think that was quite similar to fealty to the crown before.
Upgrade to what it was.
Slight upgrade.
Yeah. So that's a fairly decent upgrade. So it used to be... because it used to be within short range.
All right, okay, yeah.
And then, was it just for infantry units that can restore the wound?
No, on this one, it just says any unit, so it's not just infantry.
Yeah, it was just infantry before.
Ah.
The crown was up to 2 additional wounds.
Right, okay. Up to 5, was it?
No, it was up to 4. 2. You restore... One wound for each model lost.
Oh, of course, right. Aye.
And it was only within short range, so...
So there's a kind of cap this time of 3 and then 4. Aye, that's a bit of a buff, I think. The old card, any time I played it, was one of those ones where I would toss it if I never used it that turn. I wouldn't keep it for the next round.
No.
I just thought it was a bit... restrictive. So I like that one. And then subjugation of power. When an enemy combat unit activates, they perform a morale test. For each zone you control among crown and bags, they suffer -2 at the roll. So I take it if you have both, they would suffer a -4.
Mm.
That's how I'm reading it. But for each zone you control among crown and... So 4. So that's a buff. Slightly. And then on failure, they can't be targeted by friendly tactics cards and lose all abilities.
Yep.
So that's changed from attachments and what was the other part again?
Subjugation of power wasn't a card before.
No, the one we were talking about earlier, I've forgotten the name of it already.
Mm-hmm.
What, sorry?
The paid mutiny one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was Marauders attachments, yeah.
Aye. So that one's alright. So that's like potentially if you've got both -4, and then it's basically a winter is coming type deal, isn't it? yeah. can't be targeted by tactics card and lose. Oh no, it's slightly different because the other one it was be targeted by tactics cards and orders, but this one it's tactics cards and lose all abilities. So that'll do like your, you know, if the giant's unchanged, he would only do one hit that would have that you would get to use a save and all that sort of thing, or the free folk would become worth points and all that sort of thing. So that's actually, I like that card. That's quite cool.
Like overall, I think the cards are better.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know about you, but see, with the Lannisters, they were like, oh, the Lannisters' power is in, you know, their sneakiness and, like, backstabbing and stuff. And to reflect that, that's why we've got the NCUs and the tactics cards and stuff. But the Lannister tactics cards were just a bit shite.
Yeah, there's some really good ones, but because they thought the tactics cards were so good, you weren't getting much combat punch either.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think this realigning of them is only going to be a good thing.
Definitely, because before I was basically fishing for counterplot.
Yeah,
and
that was
intrigue and subterfuge, and that one I've just forgotten the name of twice already.
Paid mutiny.
Yeah. Any other card is just basically, I can use this, I'll use it. Otherwise, it would get pitched. And then the commander tactics cards. So, I like those overall. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm the same. I think they're great. I do think it's overall a boost to what their Lancers were doing before.
Yep, definitely. I think the value of the Stark and Lannister starter set will probably go up a bit now.
Yeah.
Which, you know, was maybe the idea. But I don't know about you, I just felt like, I know you've not played a huge amount of games, but
not in a while now, thanks to COVID.
COVID, yeah. I just feel like the power level between the Lannisters and any other faction was just a bit meh. Like,
you were paying a lot for units that generally weren't doing much.
Yeah.
And then your cards were about, you know, playing about your opponent's abilities, but if their units were taking you off the table, it didn't really matter.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was a couple of Lannister builds that were pretty good, but they were very specific, like, you had to take this commander and you had to take at least this many units of this type. But they weren't really Lannister-y about them, I don't know.
I think this is going to open up a lot more options.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm really looking forward to seeing the commanders for the, especially like, well, they've shown Jamie's cards look not too bad, but like the OG commanders, like the ones that you would typically expect to be leading Lannisters, like Jamie and who else, like, well, I suppose Tyrion was commander, was he was one of the lists that people would use in tournaments.
Yeah, they need your High Sparrow list.
Yeah, High Sparrow did not too bad as well. I think Joffrey started getting quite good later on as well, because people were finally starting to see past the negatives that he brought.
Yeah, and I initially didn't really rate him until, I think with you, the point that if he would pass the negatives, he's actually really good.
Yeah.
He has to wear him as negative.
I mean, I don't know what his cards are going to look like now, but before he could block wounds...
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm pretty sure he was the only person that could block wounds, but I digress. Right, we'll move on. Will we look at your favourite unit first?
Well, we might as well. They're sitting right here.
All glowing in green. Pyromancers.
Indeed.
Right, so 7 points, movement 5, 6 up armour, 6 up morale. I think that's all unit I've used. Sorry?
The morale used to be 7 up.
7. All right, so they've got a wee bit better. Same amount of points as before?
7, yeah.
Aye. 7-7-4 for Wildfire, 7-7-4 for the melee version, I think.
So that's a lot better than what it was.
Oh, was it?
6-5-3.
Oh, right, okay. That's a lot better then, aye.
Yeah.
They're still vicious, they still don't roll defence dice, they still suffer the wounds if you roll ones for the... Both of them, the melee and the range?
Didn't used to suffer it in the shooting range. It was just the melee range that got it.
Right, okay. That makes sense because, you know, if you go to throw something and you fuck it up, it's not really going to go very far.
So I think for the upgrade and how much dice you're rolling, I'll take that.
Yeah, even though you might suffer more wins if you roll 7 ones.
Well, yeah, but at that point, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, I've lost anyway.
And then they've got Horrific Visage, which is like the old Followers of Bone rule, where if you want to attack them in melee, you need to take a panic test at -1. I think that's new, isn't it?
That is new, yeah.
Aye.
I think, yeah, they're just in a much better place, so I'm going to have to get both of them painted up.
Yeah, for 7 points.
Yeah. I mean, it's still down if you look at them, but
yeah,
if they get to do their work, it's going to be...
Yeah, just need to protect them. Just protect exactly. them and make sure you deliver them where they're meant to be, and then you should be laughing. Again, attachment shenanigans, probably going to be able to go wild there as well.
Yeah, I think now, because they are still viable even once they've lost a rank,
yeah,
I definitely would start looking at, once the attachments are out, which ones I'm going to want to put with them.
Yeah. Whereas
before, once you lost the rank, you were down to only 5 shots, and it was pretty easy to lose a rank.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Bringing them staying at 7 means I would definitely look at investing more into the unit.
Yeah, and the fact that they have the kind of the spearman rule, where they've got the same amount of dice for the middle rank and full rank.
Yeah.
From what I've seen so far, it's looking like they're starting to get into this whole, the character, the attachment in the unit is making them count like they've got an extra rank.
Mm-hmm.
Like the old Renly that had it. Which, so if you've got that character in a unit and you count like you've got the extra rank, at one rank you're still going to have 7 attacks.
Nuts.
Aye, so that's pretty tasty. Right, Halberdiers, 6 points. Again, this is a V3. They've changed twice. I think they used to be 7 points in
anyway. They're 6 points just now.
Aye, but now they've got 8. The current, as we speak, iteration was it 884 or 885?
84.
Aye. So they went down. They were down to 7.74 on a 4-up. Their armor save looks the same on a 4-up, and their morale is a 6-up, which same?
Yes.
Aye. So they've not really changed much. They've got a wee bit...
Well, the orders have changed, sorry, not the...
Yeah, they've still got Sundering, but they can now set for charge in the flank as well as the front, which is a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think like I'll lose that extra attack to have that ability.
Yeah, because before you would just avoid them like the fucking plague.
Just put them, as long as they cover the rear, just set them up on the table. You have to deal with them, and they're going to get to attack you first.
Yep, it's very hard to, unless you've killed a whole bunch of units or you're like coming in for a table edge or whatever, as like a free folk player or a Greyjoy or whatever, you're probably not going to get in the rear if your opponent's kind of semi-competent.
No, you've got to have a way to get there.
Yeah, but even if you play something like that ridiculous Stark movement shenanigans or a swift advance and something else or whatever, you're probably still not getting in the rear. You get the flank for sure.
Yeah,
but
then I still get to attack, which is, yeah,
Yeah,
I'm going to start using them, I think, more as well.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, they've not changed in points, but they've kind of tweaked it a wee bit, which, again, it kind of makes sense because, you know, they're standing with your spear pointing forward and then somebody's coming from the side and all you need to do is, you know, turn left.
Exactly. it's fine. I think it's something that they needed because, like I say, you just avoided the front and they were not very good.
Aye, definitely. Anytime I played Lannisters and they had Halberdiers, I would be like, well, I'm just not going to charge you unless I knew I could survive it.
Now it's like, okay, you've got the front or the flank, and as you say, you can't
Very difficult to get into the rear. I think that's them basically just covering themselves really well. So I'll that's a welcome change for me. No, seeing anything that I don't like so far. So
no, I think so far as we've gone through it, the Lannisters have come out pretty good.
Yeah, here we go, Lannister Guardsmen. Right, so I think this is in terms of one of the bigger changes is the rule of Lannister supremacy.
Yeah.
So these guys, 5 points, they were 5 points before. Movement 4, they were 4 before. 3 up, they were 3 up save before. And 7 up morale, they were before as well.
Yep.
Yep. Long swords, 6.54.
6.53.
Right. So slight, that's, 3 was awful though. That was slight.
There's 4 models in the unit. Like, just give them that 4. Like.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty sad, but, so that's fine. So that's not really changed. The only thing that's changed is, to me, seems like a nerf. But so now Lannister Supremacy is not a static ability is now an order.
Yeah.
But it's not triggered off when you pass your morale test. You basically trigger it after you've been attacked.
Yes.
So you could fail your morale test and you could still trigger this. And then they suffer a panic test at minus one and you suffer an additional wound if they suffer an additional wound if they fail the panic test.
For each remaining rank.
Yes. Sorry, yeah. that's important, that part. I left that bit out accidentally. I'm painting a mammoth as we speak. So I don't know.
No, I'm not sure. I think it's a fine change because it just shakes it up if nothing else.
Yeah.
Because they were a bit like, oh, you'd always kind of put 2 units of guardsmen in, or you generally put 2 units of guardsmen in.
Uh-huh.
Just because, you know, they've got that good save, they can sit there, they've got the supremacy.
Yeah.
But with the changes to things like halberdiers, I would maybe not put both. I would maybe just switch one of them to a unit of halberdiers now.
For the extra point, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I agree. I mean, in terms of the Lannister supremacy change, I mean, maybe I'm just looking at it negatively because it's an order, so you're only limited to using it once per round. But then, realistically, how often are you getting attacked more than once in a round?
Yeah, I don't think it's that often. Like, I can't think about any options that come any time that comes to my head where I've had to do it multiple times.
Yeah, because I mean, you'd either have to get multi combo charged, which isn't it great for you anyway?
No.
Or it would be like you got charged or whatever, and then you wiped that unit out, and then another unit charged. But I can't really see guardsmen doing that either, to be honest with you.
No, but not unless something really bad is charging you.
Yeah, but even then, I don't know if a unit of guardsmen would be able to pop a unit of raiders in one kind of go, but...
Well, not unless you're half dead first.
Well, aye, that's true. I've done that before. but where was I going with that? Oh, my mind today has just went totally in space. But even if you did, you know, get charged or attacked a couple of times in the same round, you would have to pass your panic test before it triggered. So,
yeah,
that's not a sure thing either.
No.
Whereas this is a surefire thing, so it triggers. It's not when you pass, it's just after you get attacked.
Yep, this is there.
But then I suppose there is that argument of, yeah, but, you know, if I had Lannister guardsmen, I would have a guard captain in there anyway, and I would pass just by killing one model, which is fair enough. So, but then you'd be paying the extra point.
That could all be different now as well.
It's true. Yeah, definitely.
I would imagine it probably is.
I think his rule changed. I can't see it being the same, to be honest with you. But just need to wait and see. That's the motto of this episode. Just need to wait and see. Right, poor fellows. Oh, geez, right, okay. Right, so 4 points, still the same. Movement 5, still the same. Bludgeon, crap. I'm pretty sure it was very similar, if not the same. But we didn't really... Is it worse?
Well, it's better when they're... Because it used to be 7-5-3, it's now 6-5-4.
Oh, I see, right, okay.
So they've lost one at the top end and gained one at the bottom.
Aye, right, okay, so pretty much the same. But, you know, nobody cared because it wasn't about the attack, it was about the ability to do the wounds, which is now, and the armour save and the morale is still the same at armour save 6 and morale 4. That's no change either.
You see morale 3, so.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's big, actually.
Yeah.
It's not massive, but...
It's noticeable.
Yeah, the 3 up was kind of the... Ah, right, okay. Right, I don't know how I feel about this one then. So, Fanatical Zeal. So, this unit begins the game with one token, Faith token, before they had to generate, they had 0. Still, when you pass a morale test, you gain a Faith token, which is unchanged. Each time this unit is performing a melee attack, before rolling attack dice, you can spend a Faith token. If you do, they gain precision and can reroll any attack dice. So, before, if I'm not mistaken, they...
One faith token was an additional D3 plus one wound.
And that was on both sides, wasn't it?
It was on both sides, yeah.
Yeah. Which I think was the main reason that a lot of people took poor fails, because dealing direct wounds was just king.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the current rules at the minute. So that change into precision, they're hitting on 5s, but you're getting rerolls. But if you charge, you're getting rerolls anyway. So that's kind of a bit wasted. Precision... I suppose that kind of is like the the light simulation of wounds, I suppose.
I think it's just they were a little bit too strong for what
they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Being able just to randomly throw out four wounds, potentially, is pretty damn strong.
Oh, aye, definitely. For 4 points as well. But, I mean, they did have the staying power, like a paper bag and a storm, but...
Yeah, but if you didn't kill the unit, they were restoring models.
That's right, which...
They don't seem to have anymore.
Was it before when, if you controlled... if you activated them, you healed a wound, and if you controlled the bag, they healed D3?
No, it was you activated, you got D3, and the bags gave you a flat 3.
Ah, right, okay, right.
So they were pretty regenerative.
Aye, they were. They still regenerate now, but now you have to spend a faith token to restore 2 wounds, and then +1 wound for each of its destroyed ranks. So on your last rank, you would heal 4, and then you heal 3 in 2 ranks, and heal 2 on your third rank. So it's... Obviously, the main thing there is it now costs a faith token.
Yeah.
So it's, I think now you're going to have to make a choice. You don't get the extra damage and the healing ability. You're going to probably have to choose, because realistically, you're probably not making a lot of morale saves unless you've been saving them up or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a bit upset. Well, I'm not upset, but...
It is. I think it's a big change from where they were. It's a completely different...
I can completely understand why they did it, though, because they were quite good. Well, at least I thought they were.
A bit too good for what they were. Maybe now they're not good enough, but we'll see.
Well, we will see. We'll need to see what
we can do with them and stuff, and how we can
buff
them.
I think they've actually showed the Sparrow as well. They showed a bunch of commanders back in December, but I can't quite remember what they actually do. But High Sparrow now commander is an attachment.
Yeah.
Because they've got rid of NCU commanders. They're getting rid of them.
Yeah. So that's going to be a huge change as well.
I can't wait to actually just play it and kind of... I think everybody's obviously in the same boat. They just want to see what it's like when they play it, and that I'm reserving my judgment until after I've played like a dozen games or whatever with a new rule set and cards and stuff.
Yeah, just need to sit down and just have a day playing a heap of games and seeing where we get to with them.
Yeah, man, definitely. Right, okay, we'll get cracking on, because we've been talking for a wee bit now, haven't we?
Quickly get through these last 4.
Yeah, so NCUs, so... Cersei Lannister is now 4 points. No, sorry, she's stayed at 4 points. 4 points. She now has like a order token type ability similar to Varys and all that sort of stuff. So before she used to was an influence and they suffered -2 either. -2 was it? Aye. But now she. Basically, if she claims a zone, you may remove an order token from her. And if you do, perform the following. So she basically searches for cards. If you control the crown, you can search your tactics deck or discard pill for a Hear Me Roar and add it to your hand. And then the bags, it's subjugation of power, add it to from the discard or deck and add it to your hand as well. So Hear Me Roar was the minus leadership one. So I suppose that kind of soft simulates her old influence ability a wee bit.
I think so, but I think what this does more than anything is it means that she's not an auto-take.
Yeah.
Because I think she was just always the first thing in your list, because you just combo her with the crown and make you do morale checks at -4.
Yep, definitely.
-2, whatever it was.
So now she... I don't know, I think... What does subjugation of power do? I forget.
It's like subjugation of power. That's the...
Oh, that's the good one at the end, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, perform a morale test. So she's basically like a tutor.
Yeah, I think I'll use it to try and get a subjugation of power in my hand.
Yep.
So if I'd be as fast to get a Hear Me Roar, it would depend.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you would try and fish for the other one. Which kind of makes sense, I suppose. Because, you know, money bags, Lannisters. But she, I suppose, well, it's equal. I'm just talking garbage here. Right. So what do you think?
I think it's going to be interesting. I think she's very different to what she was, but like I say, you can sort of simulate her a bit, but now it's only twice per game, not every activation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, because she's only got 2 order tokens.
Yeah.
But you could recycle Hear Me Roar, So say you already had it in your hand, you could play it, and then you could use your ability to search for it and then play it again, and then you could search for it again and then play it again. And then you've got the fourth time, this other one that's actually in your deck, so you could potentially play it four times in a game if if you've got the setup.
To do so.
Yeah, cool. Again, I'm going to reserve judgment on Cersei there and play a wait and see on that.
Wait.
I agree with you, though. I think you'll probably see her a lot less now.
Yeah.
Definitely. Right, Joffrey, 4 points. He was 4 points before. Each time he claims a zone other than the crown, your opponent may target one of your combat units and they become panicked. While you're on the tactics, you count as controlling the crown. Okay, so before, when he claimed the zone, you just counted as having the crown, but you, one of your units became panicked, just straight up. So the change is, if you take the crown zone...
To stop that.
Yes, which is that, to me, that seems like a... keeping true to the kind of character
of
the books.
And of course, he's got an influence now.
Ah, he's also got an influence, yep. So he influences an enemy and they suffer an extra wound when they take panic tests. That just kind of ties in with the whole Lannister theme, gameplay theme of...
Yeah, we're still sticking to that idea. We're just refining it a little.
Yep, which, again, it seems like a decent thing, but if you're comparing it to the old rules, which... I really shouldn't be doing, but the panic tests are now just D3 dice, so that's just bringing it back up to the level that it is currently, but obviously that means that if your opponent doesn't have any abilities that can do that, you're taking less models as casualties with panic tests.
Exactly.
Yeah. What do you think? Would you take them?
Yeah, I think so, I definitely try them out because you've got that ability to stop the panic going through your going to one of your units.
Yep.
I think like that influence bringing you back to D3 plus one is just going to be nice as well, because you can combine it with so much other ways to get wounds and stuff through when you're panicked.
Yeah, combined with Hear Me Roar and this and that and the other, it's could turn out to be quite a nasty combo with other stuff, I'm going to wager. Right, okay, Tyrion. Right, so Tyrion is now 5 points, so he's went up a point. He's still got his old rule of your tactics hand size is increased by 1 up to 4. He doesn't have order tokens anymore to fish for cards and discard them. He just now has a once per game ability, which when your opponent plays a tactics card, before resolving that card, you may search your tactics deck for a discard bill for a counter plot and play it, then shuffle your tactics deck. That's pretty strong.
It is. Whether it's 5 points strong or not, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
that's one question mark for me. Is that 5 points?
It's once per game, which has got me thinking 5 points because for a once per game ability. But it could be like a total clutch move.
Exactly. But I just think at 4 points, I would say yes, no problem. At 5 points, you do start to think a little bit.
I see what you mean. So it's like it's now like a I've got to make a choice here. Between your NCUs rather than going, right, cool, Cersei, right, Tyrion, there you go, Pycelle, there you go. I quite like that, actually. It's still kind of fit.
All NCUs going up in points considerably.
Yeah, not considerably, but I think it'll make it now, if you're building a list, probably quite difficult to... Something's got to give if you're taking 3 NCUs now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be down to 2 NCUs now.
Yeah, I think you could still take 3 in some lists probably, but I think some part of your army somewhere is going to have to give somewhere. So like, be it you're not going to have any attachments, or you're going to have one less unit than you would expect, or something like that. Yeah, which is fine, but 5 points. You just look at the 5 points, I think it's just inherently you go, ooh, 5 points.
It is, yeah. But I think as we get used to it, when I see him on the table again, at the moment I'm not sold.
Right, okay.
I think the reason is, so you search your hand for
counter plot. Yeah.
But that's still a 3+.
Yeah, that's true.
It's different if it was once per game, you could just cancel it.
Yeah, and then discard counter plot.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I get what you mean.
I think it's because you're paying 5 points for a once per game ability on a 3+.
Yep.
But you're getting the extra tactics card as well. And also, we are limited to how much cards we can have. So that might be a lot more useful than.
Yeah, it increases your draw as well. I mean, it doesn't. That card doesn't change the new cap that's coming in.
Well, it says here your maximum tactics hand size is increased by plus one. So the maximum tactics card hand size is 5, and he should make it 6.
Sorry. Yeah, you're right. I'm talking shit.
Yeah.
I was looking at the 4.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, it just means...
You're starting with 4 instead of 3.
Right, gotcha.
6. So, you know what? Maybe with that, in this new era of limited cards, again, having that extra card can be clutch.
Yep. Could be, keeps your options open or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aye, right, okay. I'm discussing it like this actually helps a wee bit, because sometimes you'll like read the card and you kind of gloss over a part of it. You go,
yeah, I'm bad for speed reading something and missing it, part of the rule set.
Definitely. Right, talking of expensive NCUs.
Yeah, this is what caught my eye. Big Daddy Tywin.
This is the eye, Mr. Lannister himself. 6 points for an NCU.
It's a sore one.
He still has the giving off the reins of Castamere vibe, which he's still got the ability. It's a lot better. Right. I'll just, so once per game at the start of any turn, target any number of combat units. One becomes panicked. One becomes vulnerable. One of them suffers 4 hits. One of them suffers a panic test, and one of them loses all abilities until the end of the round. The same combat unit may be targeted by multiple effects.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It seems like, I haven't really been following it much, but obviously when you sent him through to talk about this and I had a quick read of his, I'm like, oh my, I want to put him on the table, even though he has 6 points. Just that one moment you get to do everything is going to be so good.
Yeah, that's brutal. So that, like you say, that's once per game, so... Part of me is like, it's only once per game.
But it's on potentially your opponent's whole army, or just completely destroy one unit.
Yeah. And it's also, you can use it at pretty much any point, because it's any turn, not like when he activates or when he claims a zone, or it's not at the start of the round or anything like that. It's when, sort of, any turn. And how do you think he would use it? Would you play it by ear, or?
I think it has to be played very reactive. Like, you have to wait for the right moment, because if you blow that at the wrong moment, you've wasted it.
Yeah. I think I'd be inclined to make one unit panicked and they suffer the panic test, make another unit vulnerable and suffer the hits, and then make a third unit lose all abilities until the end of the round.
Spread it out too thin, you're not going to be effective enough.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, going for like a maximum of 3 units and just really hurting. Set up to go and do some real work, you can just...
Aye, definitely. I think, to me, that option would be like your kind of default in your head what you're going to do, but then obviously you would change it depending on the circumstances of what was happening, but fuck me, man.
We've gone on about how good the subjugation of power card is. Well, he just gives you an extra option to lose all abilities. You know, it's...
Yeah.
He's still going to... So you can still subjugate a unit, and then he can make another unit lose abilities. Like, it's...
Yeah, not, definitely.
He's interesting, but he is very spendy at 6 points. Like...
Yeah. I mean, before he kind of turned off a unit till the end of the round as well, but I think it was... I can't even remember what his old card did. Did you have it at hand?
So once per game, at the start of any turn, choose one enemy combat unit. The unit becomes panicked, vulnerable, and weak, and it and any attachments on it lose all abilities until the end of the
round. Right, okay. So that's like a total shut-off. So you can still do that if you wanted, but now you've got the option of kind of spreading it a bit if you want to. Yeah, brutal.
It is. Especially with 4 hits can be key. That can just take a unit down a rank, which can be massive.
Mm-hmm. Or how often... Well, I don't know about you, but a lot of games I've played, there's just that one unit and it's got like... 2, 1, 2, 3 wounds left, and it's just like being an absolute pain, and it's like, I don't know if it's maybe just killed one of my units, or it's sitting on the edge of the battlefield, or it's retreated or whatever, and it's just like, and I need to get rid of that unit.
I think it's perfect for that. It's maybe got 1, 2 models left, you just want them gone. You don't have to spend anything to do it, you can just do it with them.
Yeah. Do you know what would make it so much better? If you could choose, so say you could go, right, that enemy becomes panicked and I want you to take a panic test, and then you do it, and then you can choose after they've done it. So, like, if you try to make them panicked and take a panic test and they don't die, you could then go, right, I'll make them vulnerable and take 4 hits. But that would be, that'd probably be, maybe a bit too strong. That'd maybe warrant a 7 point.
6 is enough. We're stopping at 6.
Yeah, that, I think, I'm pretty sure Michael Chanel confirmed that he's the most expensive NCU in the game. So it's not going to get any higher than 6.
I dread to think what someone at 7 could do.
Well, that's it. I mean, 6 points, that's a unit of halberdiers.
Yeah.
So I suppose you've got to make it count.
Definitely.
I don't know. I think my brain's still doing that old thing where going, that's worth about 5 points. But then I'm thinking, terrain's worth about 4 points. But obviously, they're kind of putting the price of the NCUs up. So that kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's hard to judge because, you know, everything's going up and changing. But we're still looking at the old points when we're trying to compare them.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so I think that's the motto of the episode is just, we like what we see so far, but we'll just need to wait and see.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's really where we are. I think there's nothing so far has been terrifying me about the Lannisters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything seems largely positive, so it's just a wait and see.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I've had a look across all the articles and nothing has jumped out at me going, oh my God. So I'm pretty happy so far. We'll just...
Yeah,
definitely. Cool. Right. So I think we'll just wrap it up there because we've been running for a wee bit now, haven't we?
Yeah, we'll have to come back and do free folk and neutrals and that.
Yeah.
Plenty of time to talk about all this stuff as it's coming out.
Exactly. But you never know, by the next episode, the packs might be all be live, so...
Yeah, that's going to be a big episode.
if it is, it will be, yeah, definitely. Right, okay, well, we'll call it there and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, no worries.